This morning I want to talk about something I'm really excited about. I trust that your faith would be stirred this morning, and Taser's message was a little bit in line with this. I trust that you'll see the connection. Don't you think a name is very significant? Who agrees with me that a name is quite significant? There are many names flying around today, isn't that so? Let's just think of schools in Bloemfontein. There's names of schools, well-known schools, maybe not so well-known schools, but schools have all got a name. Universities have got a name. We have businesses that have names, like FNB. I have to put that one in for Steve. Standard Bank, APSA. But the order is important there. It's FNB at the top. Vodacom, MTN, there's all sorts of names going around. Think of political parties at the moment. Have you guys been spammed by political parties? Vryheidsfront, DA, ANC, EFF. There's 283 political parties apparently that have registered for the elections later on. But there's names flying all over the place. What about even names of churches? Names of sports teams? Names of famous people and then not so famous people flying around. There's a lot of significance in a name. In fact, you sitting here have at least two names. You've got a surname and you've got a name. Your surname is your family name, the family that you're in. And then you have a first or maybe even a second or even a third or fourth name that identifies you very uniquely. I had a friend at school. His name was Richard John Alexander Nimmo Dewar. He had four names. Don't know what his mom thought, but Richard John Alexander Nimmo, then his surname was Dewar. And Corey Van Sale, he was a bowler. He had four names. CJ PG Van Sale, he bowled for the Free State and for South Africa many years ago. Cornelius Johannes Petrus Gerardus Van Sale. It's quite a name. So yeah, you have a unique name as you sit here, and so a name represents something very specific and very unique, and it's a good thing. Because it's got special meaning and it's got some kind of history attached to your name. My name, Alistair, comes from my grandmother's maiden surname, which was MacAlister. She came from Scotland. Her surname was MacAlister. She had a brother, Alistair MacAlister. How's that for a name? So my name comes from a specific history and it's got a specific meaning. A name speaks of identity. Do you know the meaning of your name? Hopefully you do. And so this morning, I don't want to talk about your name, and I don't want to talk about any other name. I want to talk about one name this morning. The Bible says that this name is the name that is above every other name. Isn't that awesome to know? There's so many names being worshipped, so many names being glorified, but there's one name that is the name that is above every other name. Say to someone next to you, the name above all names. And you know, the danger as believers, when we walk with this name for a long time, we get casual with this name and we forget about what really is in this name. And I trust this morning that you'll be inspired as we look at Acts chapter 3. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 21 and just look at this name that the Bible says is the name above every other name. So Acts chapter 3 verse 1, I've put it on the board for you. I'm delivered from my computer and from PowerPoint, so I'm preaching from the Word and from my notes. It's awesome. Yeah. Okay, something different. I love change every now and again, not every time. But let's read from Acts chapter 3. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. It's amazing. The two of them were going to a prayer meeting. Take note. Don't know what happens when you go to a prayer meeting, but something happened on this specific day that these two were going up to this prayer meeting. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said to him, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with him, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held onto Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. He said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. So also did your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. An amazing story. Aren't you encouraged when you just read of the faith that was in these first believers? And as you all know, we're going through the book of Acts. We're trusting God to deposit something that was in these guys at the beginning. Something of a passion for him, something of a surrendered life, as we sang earlier, something of a life that will just do anything for the God that they love. And so this morning I want to remind us of this name, because when the Lord took me to this piece, a few things stood out. One of the words that stood out was this thing of a name. Because that for me was the significant verse there in verse 6, where he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Isn't that amazing? Do you have that this morning? Do you have that to give? Not necessarily silver and gold. I love the way the writer Luke, yeah, he contradicts, or not contradicts, but he contrasts the silver and gold with this name. Because this guy was begging for many years, and he was familiar with the temple. They used to come there every time and nothing happened. Here he was begging again, asking for alms, and people probably gave him stuff. That's why he was still there. Guess we see a lot of people on the streets at the same place, and I guess the reason why they're there is because obviously people do give them stuff. But this guy was here, and this day just happened to be his day. Amazing what happens when you go to a prayer meeting. I guess when you go to a prayer meeting, hopefully you'll have the faith that these guys had. When you go to church, hopefully you'll have the faith that these guys had. Hopefully you'll believe that God can do something amazing. Amen. So I want to look at four things this morning that this name of Jesus represents. Just four things that hopefully you can remember. So in Acts chapter 3 verse 6, let's read it again. He said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The first thing that I believe we can take out of the scripture is that this name of Jesus contains all power. The name of Jesus contains power to heal, as was demonstrated here. The name of Jesus contains power to save. Amen. Sometimes we struggle to believe that because maybe we don't see lots of healings happening. Maybe we don't see lots of people getting saved. Maybe we don't see lots of people getting delivered. But the name of Jesus contains power to heal, to save, to deliver. The name of Jesus has got all authority, all dominion, all strength. Can I have an amen? The Bible says in Psalm 18 verse 10 that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Tell someone next to us, strong tower. What a name we serve. This name is a strong tower, and guess what? The righteous can run into it and we can be saved. And Peter says to these people, and he says, why do you marvel? It's not by our power. This is not any other power. This is not a witchcraft thing. This is not any other weird power. This is the power in the name of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And he says, it's not by our own power, our own godliness, because we don't have this power. We don't have any godliness in us. But there are so many other powers out there. But there's one power that has all power. Or there's one name that has all power. And I love the way the writer, or not the writer, because Luke is just recording what Peter's saying. Peter said his full name. He says, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he's making sure that this guy understands that this, you might have even heard of this Jesus. In fact, there was a chance that this guy had even seen this Jesus. Because he was quite old. We'll look at, well, he wasn't that old. But he wasn't just a few weeks or days old. He must have heard of this Jesus or even seen this Jesus. And he said, it's this Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yes, that man who was walking around looked like any of us, except he was perfect, spotless in every way, didn't have any sin. It was him. And it's in his name that you can have fullness of healing. You see, there's identity in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's why he uses the full name there. He says it's not just the name of Jesus, it's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man who was the Son of God, but also the Son of Man. And the early church seemed to know the identity in this Jesus. Do you know is your identity in Jesus Christ this morning, or is it in another name? Talking to all of us here this morning, because sometimes we find our identity in whether it's a school name or a family name or a business name or some name that we connected to. Is your identity truly in this name? And do you understand the power of this name above every other name? And that is why we shouldn't use this name in vain. Amen. And I believe sometimes we get casual with this name. And you know, the kids, it's lovely to watch our kids grow. And they hear this name. Now the Myberg kids were with our kids. They slept over with our kids last night. So now we had now I hear them talking about if Jesus has to do a bomb in this pool, then all the water will be out, you know, like. And they mention the name of Jesus, and it's good because I think they should mention the name of Jesus. And kids just understand that this Jesus is awesome. He's amazing. There's a name that I've heard, and when kids grow up, they hear this. They grow up hopefully in homes where Jesus' name is used. And they sometimes understand greatness of this name, but sometimes we can also get a bit casual with this name. And we use it in vain. But there is something amazing about the name of Jesus, wouldn't you agree? There's something special, something powerful, something awesome. This name has the power to save lives this year. Do you believe that? This name has the power to sustain you this year. This name has the power to protect you from all evil this year. This name has the power to let you not die of lack of water. Because I believe in this name, it will rain. Amen. This week there's prediction that it will rain, but we say in the name of Jesus, let it rain. But this name contains all power, friends. Let's remember this name. The second thing I want to say this morning is this name should not be used in vain, but this name cannot be silenced. Amen. And Peter spoke specifically. He didn't like imagine this guy was going to get saved, or he didn't just whisper the name of Jesus. He said the name of Jesus to this guy. This name cannot be silenced, and I believe, friends, this name must be proclaimed. Peter spoke in the name of Jesus, and I believe God really wants us to be bold again with the name of Jesus. But in order to proclaim something, you really need to believe that thing. And that's why point number one is important. If you really believe it's a powerful name, it has all authority, all dominion, all strength, all protection, then you can start proclaiming if you really believe. But don't proclaim something you don't believe, because then you're a hypocrite. But many times we stay silent because we don't believe. And it's good to believe what you promote. It's good to believe what you are proclaiming. But I want to say this morning, all that is contained in the name of Jesus must be proclaimed. It must be spoken, it must be told to someone that there is freedom in the name of Jesus. And that's how believers in Acts were. They lived this life, and throughout Acts you see people speaking in the name of Jesus. You see, there's only action when words are spoken. I really believe action doesn't happen unless we speak. There's so much power in speaking. Why? Because God at the beginning spoke. Amen. God didn't do anything else but speak this creation into being. God spoke us into being. And that's why we can't be silent with this name of Jesus. Acts chapter 3 verse 16, it says that it says through faith in this name. You have to believe. And that's why in order to get saved, the Bible says we must what? We must do two things. We must believe in our hearts and we must confess with our mouths. That's not only for a born-again experience. I believe we've got to keep believing and keep confessing throughout our journey of salvation. If you stop confessing the name of Jesus, you know what happens? We get lukewarm. Amen. It's going to happen. I really believe you either get cold or you get hot. It's difficult. There's no middle ground. For me, lukewarm is cold. For Jesus, it's either for him or against him. Don't be lukewarm. Sometimes I don't think you can be lukewarm. You're either cold or you're hot for Jesus. I really believe it. And if you're not hot for Jesus, you're going to get cold. There's a very good danger, or there's a serious danger you're going to get cold for Jesus. But it's through faith in this name, and the devil understands the power of proclamation. So guess what? That's why we complain a lot, because we're going to speak. It's difficult to stay silent. And if we don't speak positive and speak the power of the greatest name that there ever was, then we're going to speak other stuff. And that's going to fall into the hands of the devil, even though we don't use the devil's name. He's happy we don't use his name. But we become like him when we start to complain, when we start to curse people, or, you know, talk about people behind their backs or whatever, then we're just falling into the hands of the devil. And he knows there's power in speaking. This week, a pastor friend of mine sent me an experiment that they did. So he saw it on YouTube, or a couple of them saw it on YouTube. Then they actually did the experiment for 2 weeks. They put an apple, they cut an apple in half, and they put half the apple in one jar, just like a container, and the other half in another jar. The one jar, they spoke death to this apple, they cursed this apple, they just spoke negative over this apple, and the other jar, they spoke life for 2 weeks, every day. And he showed me the picture. You can probably Google this on YouTube. I haven't seen it, but I believe him. I trust him. And he said that the one half had become all black like that, and all like literally shriveled, not shriveled up, but it just had become all rotten almost. And the other one was like a normal apple does. It lasts for 2 weeks. In fact, it looks better than an apple that has just been left outside for 2 weeks. Normally it goes all brown like that. This apple didn't look bad. The difference between speaking life and speaking death. And like he said, he could not believe this. But it's true. There's power in the words that we use. But I believe we should say there's power in speaking the name of Jesus. There's power in speaking the blessings of God. But I want to say this morning that if we don't speak, the rocks will cry out. Amen. Someone is going to cry out, because the name of Jesus cannot be silenced and will never be silenced. Driving to church this morning and just seeing the first year's service and all the people gathering, and I was just thinking, you know, Jesus must be so proud of this. His name is still being glorified. Doesn't matter what everyone is saying and how people are against church and against stuff, there's still people gathering, even here next door. Cars gathering next to churches. Going to hopefully proclaim the name of Jesus. If they're going for other reasons, well, Lord help them. But hopefully you here this morning because you're passionate about the name of Jesus and you know that there's power, but you also know this morning that you need to speak. You need to cry out the name of Jesus. In verse 7, it says, Peter took him by the right hand and he lifted him up and immediately, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. The third thing this morning is that the name of Jesus causes miraculous change. Just nudge someone next to you and say, miraculous change. Because we all need miraculous change, amen? Not only once, but a couple of times in our lives. We need miraculous change. And there's only one name that can give that miraculous change. If you want to be a better person this year, if you want to be a better Christian this year, if you want to be better at whatever you do this year, you've been called to do, if it's in God's will, then there's one name that can help you, that can, in fact, not help you, the only name that will cause you to change is the name of Jesus. When the name of Jesus is believed and confessed, guess what? I love this word. I used this word when I met my wife. Change is inevitable. She didn't know what it meant because she comes from the Eastern Free State. They don't speak English there. So I had to teach her English. I hope she's not listening. But I remember when I just met, we were climbing up Table Mountain and then I used this word inevitable. I don't know what it was like. It's inevitable that we're going to get married. I don't think I said that, but we had just met. But I just used this word inevitable and she was like, what does that mean? But it means that it's going to happen. If the name of Jesus is really believed and is confessed, guess what? Some kind of change is going to happen. Guess how long this guy was lame for? How old this guy was? Have you read the Bible? Anyone know how old was this guy? Tell me, someone. Do you guys read the book of Acts? Have you read Acts chapter 4? Anyone know? I love it when I encourage you to read the word more. Go to Acts chapter 4 verse 22. This man was pretty much as old as I am. Okay. It says he was just over 40 years old. Yeah, I'm like almost 42 and I'm proud of it. It's been 42 good years and there's still another 82 left. No, sorry, 78. Okay. Aiming for 120. But this man was over 40 years old. In other words, he was lame from his mother's womb. Now, is this an impossibility that he's going to be healed? Pretty much. This is an amazing miracle. He was lame for more than 40 years. And when the name of Jesus was spoken, what does the Bible say? Immediately, what? His feet, first of all, and then his ankle bones received strength. I believe that Jesus meets the need where there's a need. Jesus meets the need where there's a need. Amen. If there's a need in some place, Jesus can meet it. If you believe and if you confess that name, I believe he can heal. He can deliver. He can save. But guess what? Look at what happens here. Look at how this miracle takes place. First of all, Peter helps the guy up. It doesn't say this guy started to leap and walk immediately. No, it says immediately his ankle and bones and his feet received strength. And then what happens? Peter has to have the faith to tell this guy, listen here, you can believe now. I believe, you can also believe, but I'm going to help you believe. This guy wanted money. He definitely didn't expect anything else. He was looking at them when they said, like, look at us. He thought, oh, cool, they're going to give me some money. And no, he said, I don't have money, but I'm going to give you power. And Peter helped this guy up. Peter took him by the hand and said, boy, stand up now. Because I believe for you. In this name, I believe. And I've just spoken this name. And there's strength in your bones. Somehow there's strength happening. Just believe. And it's amazing. And he lifted him up. And then it says immediately it received. In fact, his ankle bones only received strength once he actually worked with Peter. got to read the Bible quite clearly. Doesn't say that as he spoke that name, there was strength. It says Peter took out his, put out his hand, and that's why action is important. When we have faith, we need to put our action into play. When we speak a word, sometimes we've also got to do an action with that word spoken. And we need to have faith and help someone up. And as that guy started to believe, his bones received strength and he could realize he could stand. And then in verse 8 he says, so he leaping up, he felt the strength in his bones. He felt that miracle happening. So he leapt up and then he started to walk and then he couldn't stop running. He was walking and leaping and praising God. And I want to say this morning, sometimes we have to believe for people. Amen. This is what this verse is saying. Peter believed for that guy. That guy didn't believe, but he had to believe for him and help him to start to believe. And then he realized this is a supernatural power. This must be the living God. And immediately what happened, he started to praise God. Peter had great faith and believed for the man, and Jesus did the miracle. Peter did not do the miracle. Let's get that clear. We have no miracle working power in ourselves, but there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And he believed, and that guy stood up, and Jesus did the miracle. And guess what? He caused the change. Why did Jesus cause the change? Because he wanted to glorify his name. And this man started to praise God for new life. Imagine the change that he had. I don't know how it must feel when you're 40 years lame and you receive a healing and a miracle. That's must be an incredible experience. He leapt and he walked and he praised God for new life. And in verse 10 it says, they came together and they were filled with wonder and amazement. Say wonder and amazement. That is why Jesus does miracles. He doesn't want to do a miracle so we can sell books. He doesn't want to do a miracle so we can have a great name. That's why it's good to worship one name. Because if we start to worship another name or even ourselves, guess what? Then a miracle happens, then we think that we are great. And Jesus does miracles so that he can awe and wonder and amazement, that people can start to say, there's something different here. Something is amazing. This name is amazing. This person is amazing that you are worshiping. So change, miraculous change causes wonder and amazement. And the Bible clearly says that signs and wonders will follow who? Can anyone say signs and wonders will follow those who? Those who believe. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe. And here it is. Jesus says to the disciples, go preach the gospel and guess what? I'm with you. Signs and wonders. Mark chapter 16 will follow you. These guys are living out the great commandment. They're living out the great commission. Do you really desire signs and wonders to follow you? Do you desire Jesus first of all? But do you desire him to fulfill his promises in your life? Some of us are scared of miracles. Why? Because miracles have been abused. And you know, some miracles are not in the name of Jesus, but they're supernatural. They're still miracles. But should we be afraid of signs and wonders? Should we be afraid of amazement and awe and wonder? No. And we need to let go, because sometimes we are afraid because we didn't control it. And praise God we couldn't control it. Hopefully we never will control it. But signs and wonders will follow. And then in verse 11 it says these people were greatly amazed. I just want to read Acts chapter 8 verse 12 quickly, if you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 8 verse 12. Philip is preaching here. And it says here that when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Philip was preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and guess what? The name of Jesus. Both men and women were baptized. There's an opportunity today even to be baptized. At our house, our pool is ready. It's nice and warm. If you want to be baptized and you believe this morning, then be baptized. But when you talk about the name of Jesus, guess what happens? And you talk about the kingdom of God, people start to respond. Change happens. People get baptized. But I think they were hungry. I think they had heard about this name and they wanted more of this name. And this morning, maybe you want more of this name. You want more of this relationship with Jesus. Then it would be good if you haven't been baptized to be baptized. We can explain to you more the dynamics of baptism, but I just want to say it is good to be baptized. Guess how do you get baptized? In the name of Jesus Christ. Because you identify with Jesus Christ. You become one with Him. In Acts chapter 16, if you don't believe me, turn with me. Acts chapter 16, same thing. Paul is preaching, and guess what? He's irritated by this demon spirit, the spirit that's making money even out of the people there. And it says here, she did this for many days. It was a sorcerer that was a fortune teller that was making a profit. And Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you. How did he say that? In the name of Jesus. Commanded that spirit to go out, and then he was in trouble because people were losing their income. There was a boldness in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus contains all power. Amen. The name of Jesus cannot be silenced. Amen. The name of Jesus causes miraculous change. Amen. Someone's going to work with me this morning. Nice, Michelle. Nice deep voice there. I'm looking for it. I can't wait. The last thing, the name of Jesus. And this is the tough one for all of us, because guess what? This is applicable to all of us, not just to unbelievers. Because some of us have to respond this morning. So Peter is preaching here. Because yeah, this awe and wonder has caused some awesome response. People are like, what's going on here? And Peter uses this opportunity and he tells them the full gospel. But he mentions one word twice in his sermon. From verse 12 to verse 18, he mentions this word very specifically twice. The word denied. And he says, you guys have denied that this Jesus is real. That he's God. That he's the real Son of God. And the Jews denied that Jesus was the Messiah. And so guess what? They didn't believe that. Unbelief. They killed him, which was obviously in God's plan. God is in control. He allows everything that is in his plan. But they denied him. And Peter says at the end, he's preached the whole gospel. And he says, I understand that you didn't really know. But today, he says, repent. And be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that you may receive even Jesus Christ. And I believe for us this morning, we can be honest with ourselves and say, sometimes we deny the name of Jesus. We're believers. I'm not saying we're unsaved. We're believers, but guess what? We deny the name of Jesus. Amen. When last did you speak the name of Jesus to someone else? When last did you testify and not say, God did it? You know, I love when these guys are interviewed at the end of a sports match, like the man of the match or the captain. Watching the Pakistanis now, they give all glory to Almighty Allah, you know. I love it. They do it when they win, you know, but when they lose, no Allah mentioned. But we should be careful, because when we win, we'll mention God, but when we lose, do we mention Jesus? But it's interesting how some of the guys give glory to God. They say, you know, God, and it's fine. If that's your faith, go. But I love it when the guys are really bold and they mention the name of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? There's a difference, because we could talk about God. God is God for everyone. You know, everyone's got a God out there. I'm my own God. So talk about God. That's me, man. I'm God. So it's easy to mention the name of God, because we're not going to offend people, but mention the name above every other name. Mention the name of Jesus, and then you've got people's attention. Amen. So I want to challenge us this morning. I want to say, when last have we mentioned that name? And even being like Peter and say, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yes, that Jesus that the Bible is so wacky talking about, it seems weird. He was born a virgin, from a virgin. He's the name. You've got to believe it. And he calls them to repent of their unbelief so that their sins can be blotted out. And many of us, God really wants us to be free of this unbelief. Amen. Not our sins, Because sometimes we focus so much on our sins and we're trying to sort ourselves out and become better people. And yes, Jesus will sort your sins out. He's made a promise to do that. But you know what we really need to repent of is our unbelief. When we sometimes deny Jesus, when we have an opportunity to speak His name, oh, it's too tough. I'm going to be looked at. I'm not going to be so popular anymore, you know. I'm going to be that super wacky, weird Christian, you know, that's always mentioning the name of Jesus. It's a bit uncomfortable. I'd rather deny the name. And He calls them to come to a place of refreshing in His presence. Now, I believe we need to repent of unbelief this morning. Repent of silence. Repent of not believing that God can do what He promised to do. That Jesus can't do what He promised. Because we sometimes don't really believe that He can do. Because we haven't seen it maybe for a long time, or we've never experienced it ourselves. But God wants to come and anoint you this morning. Philippians 2 verse 9 to 11 talks again about an amazing, and it mentions, it says that Jesus, first of all, has been given the name above every other name. And it says that every knee will bow one day and every tongue, not will, it says should. Every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a chance to repent now for all of us. But there's one day going to be no more chance, and every knee will have to bow before Jesus. And every tongue will have to confess. They won't have an opportunity. But the Bible says we should do it. And every unbeliever should do it. While there's still an opportunity. Seek God while He may be found. But you see, when we preach the name of Jesus, guess what? It calls for repentance. When the name of Jesus is mentioned, we have to turn. We have to sit up and we have to like consider where we're at with the name of Jesus. Isn't that so? Don't know how it happened to you. But when I heard that name, I just knew there's power in this name. I've got to respond. And I want to challenge us this week to go and mention this name at least once. But start to do it in your own quiet time. Start to worship Jesus and just say, Jesus, You're Lord. Jesus, You've got the greatest name. Jesus, I love Your name. I love You. Your name represents who You are. You are the Christ, the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, like Peter proclaimed. And that's why Peter could do this. Because Jesus helped him practice. He says, who am I, Peter? You are Christ. You are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And you're going to be bold. On this rock, on this revelation of who I am and my name, you're going to build, or I'm going to build the church through you. And I believe, friends, God wants to build His church through each of you. Amen. Can I have an amen? He wants to do it together, but you know, often danger in a group like this is like, oh, someone else will do it. Tar will do it. Steve will do it. The elders will do it. You know, Talita will do it. She'll pray and the church will grow. No. The church is not going to grow by some people doing some things or some people doing everything. The church is going to grow when all of us go out and proclaim the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a challenge for me as well, because I'm not called to proclaim the name of Jesus only on a Sunday. I'm called to proclaim the name of Jesus wherever I go. And it's amazing, you know, when I love doing it, going to shops, going, being at the petrol station, filling up, and you mention that name, you can just see there's a response. People sit up and they have to consider, where do they stand with this name? Because he's the most powerful name. But we can mention a lot of other names and people get excited. Right now, two great names are playing in the final of the Australian Open, Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic. Yesterday, two great women played an amazing final. This afternoon, today, the Proteas are playing in pink at the Wanderers. So lots of names that we get excited about. Even you and your family name, you get excited. You love to be a Kingwell or a Van der Merwe or De Villiers or a Gooch. Or love to be connected with a certain name. But do we really love, above everything else, to be connected with this name? And you know what the test is? And I'm being honest with you now. The test is how you're proclaiming this name. Because that is your connection. Your connection with the name of Jesus is a result of how you proclaim this name. Are you silent about this name, or are you really in love with this name that you cannot stop telling people? Look at any young believer, a guy that's just been saved. Look at Taser. Why can Taser come up and share a testimony? Because she's recently been filled with the Spirit and been saved and baptized. I witnessed it. I could see the fire. Because she's called to be an evangelist. But why can't we also not have that? We can have that. We can be re-baptized. You don't have to go to a pool again and get baptized, but be refilled with the Spirit. Get that fire again. Amen. And then you'll come and tell, there won't be enough time for all the testimonies coming out, because every week we'll be saying Jesus is doing amazing stuff. We're going to a prayer meeting. Yeah, a guy gets healed. We're going to work, and I mention the name of Jesus, and some guys say, you know what, ek moet myself reg kry met Jesus. Watch the testimonies. Watch people when you mention the name of Jesus. People say, what do you have? I want this Jesus. What makes us different from everyone else? I believe this name makes us different when we proclaim this name in our own quiet times, in our own times of worship, but then let's go proclaim it outside. So I want to recap again on the 4 points as the band comes forward, and then we're going to pray this morning and trust the Lord just to do something in our hearts this morning. Number one, the name of Jesus is the most powerful name. Contains all power. And all identity and all authority that comes with that power. Secondly, the name of Jesus cannot be silenced. The name of Jesus causes miraculous change. And lastly, and let's look at our own hearts, not for others out there, the name of Jesus calls for repentance. Repentance of unbelief and of doubt and of, like Shirley shared, fear. The question I want to ask you this morning, will you be a voice for this name? Will you be a voice for the name of Jesus?